With the 8th pick in the 1993 NBA draft, the Milwaukee Bucks select Vin Baker from the University of Hartford.
He's been alive, still fighting for it. Great effort by Vin Baker, and now he takes it to the hole.
He is going to be some kind of player. He already is.
Sherman Douglas lobs it to Baker. Wow, what a play.
He's versatile, he's mobile, he's agile.
He's everything.
Clock at 7. Baker looking for the tie, the turnaround. Count it!
A rather unknown out of college at Hartford, but he's become a well-known player here in the NBA.
Vin Baker to NBA Chess Pass Drill Level B.
Vin, thanks for coming. I'd like to show you something.
You ever been to Milwaukee?
Temperature reduction in progress.
I'm going down here. Come on. Come on.
Boy, he's got some of the best down low moves, and the Bulls cannot stop him.
Because I'm 6'11 and maybe smaller than some of the guys I play against, I'm able to maneuver inside and get closer to the basket and just try to use my foot quickness the best way I can.
Oh, what a play by Baker. He faked Shaq right out of his shoe.
We've got $100 million. We've got 2 major contracts. We're doing really good. We're buying houses. We're giving away apartments. And then all of a sudden, everything starts going down. Talk to me about going down.
The alcohol started to take control of my life, and I couldn't control the alcohol or the partying. I was trying to disguise the fact that I had this disease by spending more. That's where things started to spiral out of control. $100 million or $100 with a disease is zero, no matter how you add it up.
At one point, I thought I was not loved by anyone. I was in such a bad place, I didn't think I could be loved. And that's when I found out that his love was unconditional. The Bible says new mercies every morning. So I wake up every morning needing a new mercy. I have 6 years of sobriety, but I need you today. I have a healthy fear of my past and a great adoration and respect for the Lord. Coming back home to my wife and my children and my son signed with Boston College on scholarship to play basketball there. Now I've had the opportunity to go back and do broadcasting with Fox and the Milwaukee Bucks. It's part of the redemptive process. They took a chance on me and I'm just truly blessed to be back in Milwaukee. It went from a why me to why not me. And then when you can get to the why not me, big changes can happen. I knew there would be joy in it, running back to God and running back to a forgiving Father.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that warm welcome. I'm so happy to be here this morning, and I want to thank Pastor Brooks for the opportunity to come and speak at this amazing church. I'm so happy to be here and just elated for this opportunity to share my testimony and talk about the goodness of God, talk about the glory of the Lord, and talk about God's power in our weaknesses. That's going to be my message today, God's power in our weaknesses. And watching the video in the back, I love watching my highlights just like anybody would love to watch their highlights. And I got kind of caught up in them. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks when the alcohol started talking. I'm like, oh, here we go. This is why we're here, right? So I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his favor in my life. I thank God for my father today, who's also a pastor. He just finished service in Connecticut. I got a couple text messages from him. So happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are here. I love you guys. And so happy that you took the time out to come for me to share my testimony this morning. God has been good to me. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. How many of you can have that testimony this morning? God has been better to me than I've been to myself. And I'm happy. I'll share with you guys. I'm happy that God has been better to me than I've been to myself. I don't know about you, but I don't always treat myself necessarily the best, especially when it comes to food. But God is an awesome God. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly all that we could ever ask for. Amen? So today, my message will be about God's glory, and power in our weakness. I never realized God was all I needed until God is all I had. Anybody been in that predicament before, or been in that space before, that you didn't realize you needed God so much that God is all I had? From a spiritual standpoint, from a financial standpoint, health, relational standpoint, God is all I had. I literally hit what is called rock bottom. But it's there in my rock bottom. How many of you know this? When you're at your lowest point, that's when God's ready to do something awesome. Come on, talk back to me. Paul says in Corinthians in 12 and 9, he says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Let's just park right there. My power is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. So I'm so glad about God putting me through, and I'll boast about what I went through so I can glorify and edify and talk about the power of God. All of us in here have a testimony, amen? All of us have a testimony in here about being down and God picking us up, amen? And why? I want to talk about this. I love being the underdog. And the reason I love being the underdog is because God gets glory when you're the underdog. God gets glory in your weaknesses. He really flourishes when you're at your lowest or weakest points. And I don't know about you, but I've been around the underdog in church. My father's a pastor, so I've been in church since I was about 4 or 5 years. And I've been to church, and I see underdogs and overcomers and people who have redemptive stories, and they seem to clap a little louder. Amen? They seem to dance a little longer. Amen? They've got that uncomfortable smile. I know I've had it for the last 9 years. They've got that uncomfortable smile where they're smiling way past anything to be smiling for. You know that, Christian? Amen? The overcomer that smiles through something when you're talking about something that doesn't necessarily take a smile or a laugh, but they are just smiling like, praise God. And you've told them the worst thing possible. You know why they're smiling? Because they know God is about to work something in your weakness. God is about to work something. I feel like a champion today because of God. What's so wonderful about God is that you won't, when God gets done with bringing you through, I want to leave this with you. I want you to hear this. When God gets through with you, you won't look like what you came from. I'll share this, and I probably shouldn't say this. I have a foundation called Bouncing Back. It's about recovery. And I'm not a social media guy. I'm not on Facebook. And the people in my foundation, they get so upset with me. They think I should be more active for the foundation. And I tell them all the time, like, nobody's going to believe what God has done. Like, they think I'm going to be creating that person on Facebook or Instagram after what he's brought me through. They won't believe what God has me doing now. Amen? Going from being an NBA All-Star and an Olympian and all this wonderful stuff to literally hitting a rock bottom, literally losing everything that God had blessed me with, I literally lost it all. It's kind of like the Job story. But what is the opposite? I'm giving God glory today, but what is the opposite of giving God the glory? I want you to ask yourself, what do you think the opposite of giving God glory? And that's, my answer is prioritizing something or someone else before God. Prioritizing something or someone else before God. And in our text today, I want to briefly speak about Gideon's army and his army of 300 and his weakness and how God showed his power. And there's many stories in the Bible about God showing his power in his prophets or his disciples' weakness. But I want us to remember that we have to prioritize God first. God says, he says what? I'm a jealous God. Amen? So we have to prioritize God first. And we find the Israelites, being the Israelites in the Old Testament, violating one of the Ten Commandments, that thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not worship any God. And it's the same story with the Israelites. And, you know, it's their obedience, disobedience, bondage, repentance, delivery. Obedience, disobedience, bondage, repentance, and then deliverance again. Anybody been in that pattern before? Maybe it's just me. I'll talk to me. Come on, talk back to me. We 5 minutes into this. You saw a video. I've confessed a lot. We family now. Right? So I want to pick the story up in Judges 6. And I want to read 7. Through 16, I want to talk a little bit about Gideon's weakness and God's power. We have to remember that God wants to get glory. One of the things that helped me adjust from my story, my woe is me, and everything that I had gone through was, what if this amazing career, this amazing story that you have, and God took you all the way to the bottom, what if you can give God glory from this? And I'm telling you right now that once you realize that that's the purpose of your life, that could be the purposes of your trials and tribulations, you immediately gain power. Once you go through something and you know that God is taking you through in order for you to edify him, in order for you to glorify him, in order for you to lift up his name, you automatically understand the purpose of God in your life. Amen? How many of us have struggled in situations so long and God, why? What are we going through? What is this for? But as soon as you recognize that this is God wanting to get glory, it's going to make the situation better. Talk about a little bit with Gideon real quick in Judges 6, and I'll pick it up at 7. And I'll end at 16. And it says, when the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the land of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me. The angel of the Lord came, 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak that belonged to Joash the Abizurite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. How many of us know today when you hear those words that the Lord is with you, there's nothing you cannot do? And so interestingly enough here in verse 13, like we always do, maybe it's just me, but 13, Gideon says, pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian. 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Go in the strength that you have. It's okay to go in the strength you have. Some of us have doubted the strength we have. Amen? But I can tell you where you can gain power and strength. If you hear the Lord to say, go ahead, you go ahead and go in the strength you have, and I got your back. How many of us know that God has our back this morning? Go in the strength that you have. Go in the strength that you have. 15 says, pardon me, my Lord. Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest, and I'm the weakest in my family. The Lord answered and said, here's the power. I will be with you. God is with you today. I will be with you. And you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none of them alive. You will win the fight. You will win. When you accepted Christ in your life, the fight is now fixed. The fight is fixed. You will win the fight. No matter what the optics look like, you've already won. When we were kids, young basketball players, our coaches always would tell us, play to your strength. Play to your strength. Amen. Even as adults, what do you think we do now? Play to our strengths. We rely on our experiences, our resources, relationships, connections, colleagues, bosses, husband. Play to your strength. But in Christ, it's okay to play to your weaknesses. It's okay to play to your weaknesses. So Gideon goes on to go and get an army of 32,000 men. And God says to Gideon, that's too many. Now this Midianite army was an army that was, during this particular time, compared to our army. It was something that without divine intervention, they would definitely lose. There was no way 300 men, even the 32,000 that Gideon assembled, really had no shot when it came to winning this war. But God said, Gideon, I want you to take that number down all the way to 300. And why did God ask Gideon to take it down for 300? I'm glad you asked. Because God wanted to get the glory. So your situation, when it goes down, means that God is about to come up. And watch this. God is not trying to convince the people around you of his power. He's trying to convince you of his power. 300 men, he took it down. Because what happens, and I'll tell you the second part, why God took it down to 300. And this happens. Maybe it's just me, but if this is you, keep it to yourself. But I think I'm gonna hit home here. One of the reasons that God wanted to take it down to 300 and not 32,000, because somehow or another, if it was 32,000, man would have done the math and said, that was us. So sometimes your situation has to get so bleak, has to get so dire, so that you will know only God did it. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. Houses, friends, cars, all the way down to zero. All the way down to zero. And I said this earlier, like when I talk about God's redemptive power, when I talk about my story, because most people see me as a Milwaukee Bucks coach now, they want to talk about the obvious. Are you going back to play? And what's the Greek freak like? And what's all this stuff? And it's great conversation. But I will tell you that I cannot engage in a conversation more than 2 or 3 minutes without giving glory to God. I know the math, 9 years of sobriety. I know the math, 1 year at Starbucks. I know the math, but without God, none of it's possible. See, when you start counting the years and counting the situations and counting the days, the enemy is going to make you start counting yourself out. The enemy will start you to counting yourself out. There's a story that I like to share about the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was, when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter woke up after Jesus had went to pray, and Peter woke up and they came to arrest him, and Peter drew his sword and cut off one of the soldier's ear, and Jesus picked it up and put it back on, and lived by the sword, thus live by the sword, die by the sword. And what I love about that scripture is that I found out within that scripture that Jesus, God, is a statistical phenomenon. He's statistically more powerful than you can ever imagine or think of or fathom. And I want you, when you get an opportunity to read this scripture, when the soldier came to arrest Jesus, the soldiers came, and Peter did this act, and Jesus was pretty disgruntled with Peter, had been sleeping, then he wakes up groggy, then he cuts off a soldier's ear. And Jesus said, this is what I can, this is my purpose. But I want you to do this math, Peter. If I was really in trouble, just so you know, that I can call legions of angels. Legions of angels, 72,000 to be exact, to turn this whole garden upside down. I'm not even sure I don't know how many soldiers were there to arrest him, but Jesus used the number 72,000. In the book of Isaiah 37:36, it says that one single angel destroyed 185,000 men. So Jesus told Peter that I can get 72,000. And I don't know about you. I'm going to stop the math right there. You can do it when you get home. But that is a lot of angels. But what Jesus was saying to Peter is, I came for this purpose. I came to suffer so that Pastor Brooks, so that everybody might have a right to the tree of life. I came to suffer. I came to go through this. Sometimes you got to go through something to get to where you need to get in Christ. And the reason the numbers are so important is because God's saying, don't worry about how it looks. Don't worry about how your account looks. Don't worry about where the bills are right now. Don't worry about what tomorrow brings. Worry about what I can do for you in your life. If you're going through something and you're in the body of Christ, I'm going to give you some good news. There's a good chance that God is the author of that struggle. There's a good chance. Do you think that after 13 years of playing basketball in the NBA, 5 years out of the NBA, struggling with an addiction, and now 9 years of sobriety, 4 years back to the NBA, do you think my human nature put this together? I am in awe of what God can do in the lives of men and women, in awe of it. You should be in awe of what God is doing in your life right now. You should be celebrating the Lord while you're sitting there right now. Because I can tell you that if you're going through something, God is getting ready to work a miracle in your life right now. Watch this. The Christian law of gravity. The Christian law of gravity. Donnie McClurkin said it best. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. I love that Christian law of gravity. We fall down. So when I'm down, I don't fret. I don't fret at all, because I know God is getting ready to do something awesome and amazing in my life. It's my story, but it's his glory. My story, but it's his glory. I used to be terrified to stand up and speak in front of people. But the reason the fear was coming over, first of all, I represent the God of the universe. There's some fear there. But there was some selfishness there. Like I told you, I was watching the video. I'm like, man, this is good. I love that commercial. That was awesome. I can remember where I was. I can remember how I was feeling. That's awesome. But then when it got to the point about the struggles, the T.D. Jakes interview, brought me back to reality that God is first. Put God first. Put God first in your lives. God wants to understand that there's addition by subtraction. So you can grow or gain when you lose. How many of us know we can gain when we lose? You can gain when you lose. So I want you to understand this, and I was talking to Pastor in the back. I know this is a difficult time and an unprecedented time in a lot of our lives. Some of us who are old enough to have grown up in the 70s or born in, I'm not going to get anybody's personal business with their age. But it's an unprecedented time for all of us in our lives, from the social injustices and certainly the pandemic. Like, I've woken up in the morning and I've watched what I've watched the last 2 months on video with the police and young African Americans. And in that same hour, I've had to put on a mask and put on gloves and walk out in the street. I don't know about you, but it's been a sense of hopelessness and helplessness at some point. Gloves, mask, watching what I watch, raw emotions. But I implore you to put God first. I implore the Christian body to lift up the name of the Lord. I implore and tell you, as a Christian body, you need to raise up and start talking Christian talk. Where is the body of Christ in all of this madness? The body of Christ needs to stand up and say, God is getting ready to do something extraordinary. God is getting ready to move in this world like he's never moved before. Amen? Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's important. Lean not on your own understanding. I get it. But leaning not on, putting your trust in God is what we have to do. Because when we lean on our own understandings and just lean on our own raw emotions, things don't work out as well as we want them to work out. Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. We sang a song in our church, in our church, Baptist church growing up, my dad's church. I've learned how to lean and depend on Jesus. I've learned how, anybody ever heard the song? I've learned how to lean and depend on Jesus. I found out that if I trust him, he'll make everything okay. He will make everything okay. I can rest my life, rest my spirit, rest my children, rest my family in that scripture. I learned how to lean and depend on Jesus. Trust in Jesus with all your heart. I used to come out when I went down and got the job with Starbucks, the humility. It took a lot for me to go back and say in the public and say, I need to work. I need to get a job. You know, I've been this celebrated athlete, celebrated basketball player for the majority of my adult life. And now all of a sudden I wake up in the morning and I've got to go get a 9-to-5. And I can tell you, I won't tell you the connections that I have, but I had a connection in Starbucks. Well, I'll tell you the connection. I knew Howard Schultz, the owner of Starbucks. So I, in some ways, skipped the line and I passed barista and I went straight to store manager. Disaster. It was a disaster, y'all. Like, there's about 300 drinks to make on paper, and then 3,000 more of the store members who want all theirs customized, lightly fluffed. Light milk, soy milk. So it was a complete disaster for me to be a store manager at Starbucks for the year that I was there. I think one time, I think I had about 4 fireable offenses, and ordering 12,000 cream cheeses as opposed to 1,200. That was a mess. And I was at North Kingstown, and I can tell you, I'm going to share, putting on a green apron and coming out in front of people who pretty much, a lot of people thought it was a joke, like they thought they were being pranked, and coming out and serving coffee for a living was a tough, tough place. I'll be honest with you guys. But it also put me in a place where I had humility. And I said, Lord, if this is what you have for me, it is for me. I wasn't looking to my left or to my right or I was so happy to be sober. I celebrated 9 years of sobriety April 17th. I was so happy. Thank you. I was so happy to be sober, and then I went and got the job, and I started to work there, and I did the very best job that I could. And out of that, as I started to experience the understanding humility and what it was going to take, I was just wanted to provide for my family. I wasn't looking to obviously break the bank or do anything. You can't break the bank as a manager at Starbucks, but I just wanted to work. I just wanted to live life on life's terms. And so from that, I got a call one day as I was training as a manager about, this is a book. Like, I got a call from HarperCollins, a book broker, and they said, there's an opportunity for a book here. And at that particular juncture, church and family, I wasn't thinking book. I was like, I got to get these dishes washed. You don't think about books when you're in the back of the Starbucks kitchen, I can promise you that. And that's not where my life was at the time. But by the grace of God, I started to think about this, and I started to pray on it. And what if I can take this story of mine, millions and millions of dollars, to Starbucks barista manager and share this with the world and give God the glory? What if? What if you can take your story and what you're going through and turn it into a blessing for someone else? Understand that it's not your weakness, amen? It's God's strength that you're promoting. I want you to not be afraid to tell somebody, I'm going through it. Look to your neighbor and tell them, I'm going through it. I'm going through it. It's uncomfortable to say, Pastor, I'm going through it. But when you say, I'm going through it, you activate the power of God. God's not going to sit by and let his Christians suffer, let his people suffer. He made a way for the Israelites time and time again. He'll make a way for you. Amen? I want you to understand that, listen to this, your weakness is not in the way of what God would do. It's your delusions of strength that are. Say that again. Your weaknesses are not in the way of what God can do. It's your delusion of strength that's in the way of what God wants to do. In our life of faith, resources can be a detriment to our growth and existence as Christians. Say that again. In our life of faith, our resources can be a detriment to our life of faith. I cannot tell you how many times I check my BMO account a day, and it never changes. I'm wondering if I got hacked. I'm wondering if this person. I'm at the end of the day, I'm like, did you just check your BMO account 22 times today? When God has brought me and shown me through my life of trials and tribulations that there's nothing too hard for him, how many of us know that there's nothing too hard for God? That's what I'm thankful for Pastor Brooks giving me the opportunity to come, because I know some of the fellas and some of the guys know, the fathers in here may have know the story, but I'm telling you through my testimony, I just want to share with the world that there is nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. I shared with Pastor, watch this, my son Vin Baker Jr., who will be playing with the University of Wisconsin Panthers, and I'm sure he won't mind me sharing this story, and I'm dad, so I'm going to get away with it regardless. My son went to four different high schools. I was there every high school. We were just moving. And then he went to Boston College, got a scholarship to go to a great, great university, a great school, Boston College. And things didn't work out there. And after four high schools and a college, I honestly looked at my son and said, it may not be the schools. I'm an enabler, and something's going on with you. But watch God. I was able to have these conversations after years and years of alcohol abuse and not being there for him and him going to different high schools and not, we are in the same city, me being an assistant coach with the Milwaukee Bucks and my son being on the University of Wisconsin Panthers basketball team. It must be God. I have to stand here. I'm going to keep telling my son, we have to stand here. We have to tell everybody we get an opportunity that it must be God. I would encourage everyone to take a little time out of Facebook, Instagram. I don't even know the social media, Twitter, but to promote what God has done in your life. I don't play around on Facebook. I don't play around on Instagram. People can go ahead and pick up Google. If I lie about something, they can Google and like, that's not you. So I tell people from the get, it's God's power and I am weak. I don't have delusions of strength. I know it's God. I know he blessed me. I know he put me back in the NBA. It's all God. What would I do? I never would have made it without God. How many of us know that you never would have made it here today without God? Don't wait until something awesome happens. Don't wait for something great to happen. In July of 2016, when I was working at Starbucks, I was teaching Bible study at my father's church. And my title, I went back and looked at it in my notes, in my email, my title for one of the Bible studies that summer was Praise God in Advance. Praise him in advance. This is with Starbucks. It's easy to say praise God in advance and give him all the glory. Milwaukee Bucks, go, 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 Bucks. It's easy to say it then. But what about when you're the barista? What about when you're at your lowest point, when you're at your weakest point? That's when you praise God. That's when you give God all the praise. That's when he wants all the praise. That's when he's, and so this past summer, I preached a sermon this past summer in my home state in Connecticut that God always wins. God always wins. And the reason I talked about the two different sermons in my life, because at one point I was a barista. At the other point, I was an assistant coach for the Milwaukee Bucks. Praise him in advance. God always wins. It's giving glory to God. It's easy, church, to praise him when we're doing good. It's easy to try to protect our weaknesses. It's easy, but I implore you, I'm telling you today, let go and let God. How many of us need to let go and let God this morning? Let go and let God. Just don't, if anybody can tell you, don't worry about the embarrassment. Don't worry about what I guarantee you, everybody in this building who made it here today, I put everything on it. I'll check my BMO so see what I can put on it. That you don't look like what you've been through. You don't look like what you've been through. The enemy wants to give you numbers. The enemy wants to tell you. Then I had someone tell me, this is a true story. You've been blackballed from the NBA. This is when I was going through. They'll never accept you back. And here I am today standing in front of you, church, on the best team in basketball. with this amazing opportunity that Pastor Brooks has given me to come here and share my testimony. I never would have made it without God. Never would have made it. The number one team in basketball. It must be God. It must be God. And again, I implore you, give God the glory. It's not about my story. I'm happy to share, but I can't stand up here and because what works for me, I got to be able to teach and preach that it's going to work for you. And the one thing I know, all our situations are different, but the one thing I know is God will never change. The prayer of the righteous availeth. The fervent prayer. That just doesn't go for Vin Baker. That goes for everyone in this congregation. That your prayer will overcome this pandemic. Your prayer will get us through this injustice, this problem that we're having in our country. Your prayer will get you up in the morning. Your prayer will get you through college. Your prayer will get you through work. Your prayer will take away the hopelessness and the helplessness that you felt in your life. If God has done it once, he'll do it again. So I implore you guys, and I'll leave you with this, to wake up your hope. First, recognize that you're weak. I'm powerless. You are God. Wake up your hope. The story of the disciples when they were on the boat with Jesus and the storm raised on the Sea of Galilee and they ran down and were so upset with Jesus. How can you lay asleep when this sea is trying to take us and kill us? And God just woke up and said, peace be still. He just said, peace be still. Peace be still. So acknowledge your weakness and then wake up to Jesus. Just wake him up. He might be dormant. Wait, and it's okay, he might be dormant, but this morning we're going to wake him up. We're going to wake him up. Just wake up your hope. Acknowledge your weakness and wake up your hope and say, God, I need you. God, I love you. God, I am nothing without you. And watch what God does immediately in your life. I want us to stand to our feet. I just want us to meditate for about a minute. I just want a little bit of this song. Just thinking about the power. I want you to just give it up, let go, and let God. Acknowledge your weaknesses and just acknowledge the power of God that he can do anything and everything exceedingly and abundantly all that we could ever ask for. I just want to sing this little bit of this song. I want you to just close your eyes and meditate. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And oh, we'll see. See how great is our God. the name above all names. And he's worthy. And he's worthy of our praise. And our hearts will sing.
And our hearts will sing.
How great is our God. Oh, how great is our God.
Sing with me, how great is our God. It all will sing, how great is our God.
Thank you, Ben, for sharing your life and your heart with us today. You know, this officially makes you a part of the Oak Creek family after today. Our joy to have you with us on this Father's Day. If you're in the house today and you've said, you know, I need to make some course correction in my life. I need to put Jesus where he belongs in my life today. I'm going to ask Ben to pray for you in just a second. And then for all the fathers in the house, just the blessing of the Lord over your lives for this day. And you know, this is a challenging time. It's a challenging time to lead your family through these moments. And so we're going to pray. Ben is going to pray for you dads. And we just want you to know this is a day that we honor all of you as fathers and honor that role that God has placed you in. And so, Ben, would you pray for all of those that are saying, I've got to make a course correction in my life, make Jesus the Lord of my life, and then to pray the blessing of the Lord on all of these.
Father God, we thank you for this morning. Father God, we thank you for being indescribable. We thank you for being awesome in our lives, Father God. We thank you for stopping by and communing with us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this Father's Day, Father God, and we thank you for the fathers, Father God. We even thank you for the mothers, Father God, who have taken the place, Father God. We thank you for those mothers as well. God, we thank you for your favor, your grace, and your mercy in our lives. We ask, Father God, that you continue to touch us, continue to bless us in this unprecedented time of our lives. We pray, Father God, that you give us the peace beyond our own understanding. We ask, Father God, that you continue to watch over us as we go to our separate homes, as we continue to push this country back towards normalcy, Father God. We ask that you watch over us with your arms of protection, Father God. Give us strength when the enemy rises against us, Father God. Give us the strength to ward him off. And Father God, if there's anything I failed in asking, please do not fail in giving. It's all these blessings we ask in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you once again, Ben, for being with us today. God bless you really good. As you leave.